listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So,
hello. Welcome back to Don't Mention the Fussball. This is episode 44, I believe. And this time round, we've got two games to talk about. The away game against Augsburg and a home game, which was just yesterday, against Dortmund. With us this week, we've got young Patrick in Canada. So, hello,
hi.
Patrick.
Hello.
And in sunny Berlin, we have Marcus. Say hello.
Hi, audience. Hi, Simon. Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
So nice to see your faces again after such a long time.
Yes. We're all suffering slightly from COVID isolation, I suspect. But
true.
We'll talk about that another time. So, gentlemen, first game, which is a slightly nicer one to talk about, was the away game, which was before the international break, wasn't it? Against Augsburg, where our fortunes sort of changed a little bit. Any thoughts, anybody?
It was the first win in a while as well. I think it was the first win after since the first game of the season. They won against Bremen, I think.
That's absolutely right.
And they haven't won since until Augsburg.
They didn't win a game. Nope.
Whoops. Horrible.
But it was also that what we already saw in Wolfsburg, like the way they played. We saw it this time with the 3 points instead of just one. That would be expected after the Wolfsburg game.
I'm still trying to remember, like as you said, Simon. It was only 2 weeks ago, but it feels like a million years ago with the international break.
I suppose it would have been two weeks ago.
November 7th, so 15 days ago. It's crazy.
It does feel like an eternity ago, really.
Yes.
And one thing I can sort of picture of it, that it was quite foggy, especially latterly as the game went on. It was really quite murky at times. You thought, we're not going to be able to see the ball soon. Because it was sort of getting thicker and thicker. And it wasn't flares this time either. It was actual fog.
That's true.
I've seen it fog up quite nicely with players plenty of times in the past. But.
I mean, I know it would have helped with the game yesterday, you know, flares or anything to stop that massacre.
Next time round, our defence need to be go out on the pitch equipped with smoke flares, so they can just lay down smoke to try to keep away.
Yeah, exactly. You're perfect diversion.
that was
bad. So yeah, Augsburg. We had Cunha scoring on the penalty kick right before halftime, which gave us a nice push for the rest of the game. 6 minutes after the second half, Luke Bacchio scored. And then the icing on the cake was Piątek, 5 minutes before the end, scoring again to make it 3-0. That was really a welcome sight.
I mean, he's scuffed at least one, I think, earlier on in the game. But to see him coming along, and he was sort of, you know, behaving like a striker. And a good finish at the end as well, which was quite nice to see.
Unfortunately, Cordoba injured himself, and he will be out until the end of the calendar year, I think.
Well,
so
he was injured in the incident that led to the penalty in the first place.
Yes,
because he got sort of chopped from behind. He just got kicked in the back of the legs by somebody. I don't know what on earth they thought they were doing, but after that he went off limping, and so he's out of the game for a while, which is not good to see.
Unfortunate, because I mean, I guess we will talk about it during the analysis for the Dortmund game, because I was hoping, I might as well talk about it now, I was hoping that he would be able at some point to feed passes to Piątek. Because Piątek is a trigger man, but if no one gets him the ball, he is invisible. He doesn't create his own shot.
No,
and I think we noticed that yesterday, especially.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. Really, he was just out of the picture.
Yes,
unfortunately.
So might as well start talking about Dortmund then. Like, you get it out of the way.
Well, but isn't it actually more fun to speak about Augsburg?
Yeah, but we don't remember it well enough.
I watched the highlights because I sort of recorded it on the telly and had a look at it earlier on, and the Augsburg game, that is, or both. I mean, the contrast with the Augsburg game, where we controlled it a lot more, we seemed to sort of defend better. And the same thing applied at the beginning of the Dortmund game, to some extent, in that one of the things that we criticised in the last podcast with them, well, I criticised anyway, is that when they came to doing clearances, they just didn't hoof it and just get it completely out of there. They were doing that a lot better, I thought, in the Augsburg game and a little bit at the start of the Dortmund game, which was good to see. But we need to see. The defense was...
What I don't understand is I listened to some of the interviews after the match, and Favre said it himself that during halftime he didn't really change anything technically. Like, he didn't make any subs, I don't think, and he just told the players, like, stay positive and stay on it and, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And it only took a few, because we had an excellent first half against Dortmund.
Really? Yeah.
It only took 5 minutes of, lack of concentration, and then we were down 2-1, and then it was, you know, off to the races.
Yeah. I mean, it was shocking, some of the stuff that went on in that second half. Before we go on to that, we ought to mention the positive note from the first half, the goal from Cunha.
Oh, yeah. Nice shot. It was a really...
That was a screamer.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And it came very unexpected, because I thought that they would still like to run a few meters to finish the attack, but then he suddenly just...
He just let rip, didn't he? And wham.
Yeah, it was nice.
Sometimes I cannot say if it's really a Hertha thing, but sometimes you have the feeling that they want to walk the ball into the net. They are looking for the perfect 1-2 play, and but sometimes you just have to take your chances and launch a screamer, and sometimes it works.
For a long time they didn't ever do that. Take these sort of long distance shots. As you say, they always tried to sort of walk the ball into the net and failed miserably most of the time.
Yeah. Yes.
It's always quite good to see this.
I don't know if it's just a Hertha thing, but I have a bit the impression that at the moment it's not really a stylistic, it's not a stylistic middle use in German, like a stylistic way of shooting goals, the screamer. It's maybe like something which is not modern at the time, because I don't see many screamers, so that's why I was so surprised. Or is it just because I watch a lot of Hertha and they never happen?
With Hertha, so maybe a bit of both.
if you see sort of really good goals on YouTube clips or something, the ones that most people say are really good goals are ones just like that, where somebody just turns and leathers it straight into the net.
Yes.
Those are the ones that people always sort of really enjoy and say, whoa, wasn't that fantastic?
But I got to say, I am a fan of those, like the through passes, like, that cuts through a defense and the striker cuts inside and gets behind the defense. I always like those.
Yeah.
So unfortunately,
Dortmund was demonstrating that quite nicely.
I was just about saying that. So you wanted to speak about Haaland. Yeah. So please go on.
I mean,
some of those were shocking.
Absolutely.
But if we can summarize the game, because we did that after the Wolfsburg game, I guess we could, let's skip the Augsburg game because we don't remember it well enough. But if we could summarize the game, the Dortmund game, in one sentence, Marcus, what would you say? Describe the game in one sentence yesterday.
Well, I can make many commas, right? I can make a German long sentence.
Yes, you can.
It was a super good first half, and then in the second half we had this hole in the central defense where Haaland just like stepped through like every time, like a I don't know, like a very slippery fish or something like this.
A big fish.
Yeah, but very slippery still. Yeah. he was just past the defense.
A big fish who kicks the ball really hard into the net.
Yeah, but he's so sleek. Like he's huge and he's like a meat mountain. But still, like he's like a zebra. Like he walks like a zebra. Like very sleek. I don't know if zebra is the right animal, but very, very elegant. Just imagine an elegant
a gazelle.
Yes. And if you look at the game again, the goals, I mean, he also has, I'm stating the obvious here, but he's got really great instincts. You can see him like immediately move towards the goal as soon as there is a little opening.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah. The second goal was, as you were describing about that pass, and he timed his run to perfection. I think he was just onside because of Marvin Plattenhardt's boot, I think it was. But as soon as the pass was made, he was gone. It went straight through the sort of rather wishy-washy offside trap, and then bang.
Yes, that didn't work.
It really didn't at all. Because there was like a line of Hertha defenders, and he just ran straight through a hole in the middle. It was... Yeah. Great pass, but the whole thing, the timing of the pass going through and Haaland's run, a thing of beauty.
Yeah, I gotta admit. I mean, yeah, we got our asses kicked, but it's not like, how can I say, they deserved it just for that second half. Like they wiped the floor with us in the second half and, fair.
Yeah, fair play to Dortmund. Yeah.
Yes. And also the penalty when Guendouzi failed
in the box.
Yeah, sorry. It was not a penalty.
No. No way.
Okay, no good. Way. I'm glad we agree on that.
No. How that was given as a penalty. I mean, if that had been the other way around and it had been a Dortmund player, we would have been screaming blue murder.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the Dortmund people probably didn't care because they were winning so much anyway. But, I mean, that was just...
The ref,
that decision was as shocking as our defence. And that takes some time.
Yes. The ref took pity on us. Let's give them that one. I mean, they are getting their asses kicked. So, you know. So, who would you think had a good game yesterday? I mean, one name comes to mind, but like, is there any other positives that we can get from that game? Marcus, what do you think?
Well, Guerrero?
No, I mean, on the Hertha side.
Well, which one would be the obvious for you? Like, Cunha, of course, because he was successful. But on the other side, I really enjoy watching Guendouzi, who I think is super, super strong. Like, we're always talking about this axis, and he's really this, I don't know, I really enjoy him playing already when he played in Wolfsburg. Like, he has these soapy, smooth passes. Like, he has the ball. He's very tranquil. What's the word for tranquil? Like, very calm.
Calm, yes.
Calm, and then cool. Beautiful passes. And the passes, they always reach the recipient, unless the recipient is some normal Hertha player and doesn't catch the ball.
But no, you're right. He did have a good game, and I was going to forget. Cunha did have an excellent game as well, but I thought his yellow was the stupidest thing. Like it was like a child throwing a tantrum in the shopping mall. Come on.
Yeah, but it's not the first time. Like he gets very childish or in a bad mood if it's not working, you know, like he gets really like mad and then he starts not being really productive to do something, but he gets really
bad body language also.
Yeah.
And that and Guendouzi together, they can that can be a bit kindergarten-y, if you like, because Guendouzi has tantrums as well, but not yesterday. I don't think it was. I didn't notice anything yesterday from Guendouzi. So that's good.
You're as an Arsenal expert. You know everything about him. Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of Arsenal, didn't Omar Rekik join Arsenal a few days ago, I think?
Did he?
No, it's not confirmed yet, but what everybody knows or says already is that he will leave Arsenal in summer, that the agreement is there already, but he still will finish the season in Berlin. That's what.
Oh, okay.
That's what the rumors, okay. But like it's already like written everywhere, but it's not official yet. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like he was going to, it didn't look like he was going to leave a big mark on Hertha anyway. So, you know, if he gets another chance at Arsenal, you know,
yeah,
good,
but,
I guess.
But he's just very young. I think in 2-3 years, he will be a very good defender. So I think he could play well.
Fingers crossed. I know that we can use a few of those at Arsenal right now. Wow. Good defenders, welcome, you know, come in. Simon, who did you see anyone having a good game besides Guendouzi and Cunha yesterday? Any positives at all?
Pretty few and far between. Apart from those two, there's lots of people you could sort of say perhaps they didn't do quite so well. But the positives, they're pretty thin pickings.
I mean, it's fair.
I mean, I think you mentioned on Twitter or something at the time that it's a game of two halves, very, very much so.
Yes.
We did pretty well in the first half, keeping them pegged back. It's Aldereta, isn't it? I think he sort of kept Haaland at bay quite a few times in that first half. He sort of, he sort of smothered one chance, and then Royce had a pop just after that, Royce had a pop just after that, which was saved by Schwolo. But in the second half, he just lost it completely and just wasn't doing the same job.
Fell apart.
Yeah.
Stark and Darida were average. Like, they put in a shift, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, Stark had a couple of shots, I think, didn't he?
One
with a header. And so did Pekarik. Curiously, at one point, it looked like Pekarik was our sort of front man. he had a couple of shots. Yeah, it didn't come to anything, but...
He also had a couple of blocks, I think, Pekarik, right? Didn't he block a few shots at some point? Maybe I'm misremembering, but yeah. I mean, if we flip the coin, I mean, we already mentioned the central defense had horrible game.
Yeah.
Both Boyata and Alderete in the second half, like they completely, they either were watching the ball or they switched off and, you know.
I mean, that first goal was a horrible bit of ball watching.
Yes.
I mean, you can't leave somebody like Haaland sort of hanging around by the back post and just, you just can't do that.
You can't. I mean, you can, but you will pay for it.
You know?
And they did. Exactly. And we mentioned that before recording the Plattenhardt's back pass, which was a bit clumsy, and Alderete didn't react fast enough, and then Haaland, you know, pounced and...
The list of catastrophes just go on and on. that was shocking. A back pass like that with Haaland hovering around the place. Alderete went chasing after it, you know, like a snail. And he just got burned off completely by Haaland. Oh, dear.
Horrible. And Boyata didn't have a good game either.
No.
Piontek was... we mentioned that if he doesn't get any service, he's invisible.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Marcus, did you have the chance to watch him a lot when he played at Milan?
No, not at all. I do not really follow Serie A.
Okay.
Not anymore. No, I did not. I did not watch the Polish games when he played because he scored again. But you're referring to that he was so good, right? When he was playing at Sampdoria and then later when at Milan as well, this first season.
Yeah.
But then,
I mean,
or at least it's half a year or so. Or like, no, I think he scored a lot in the first half of the season, and the second half, not so much anymore. And then Ibrahimovic came.
I think you're right. I think you're right. So
that was a story.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you saw him yesterday. I mean, what Labbadia or the media's no, Labbadia said that he will have like you have the team and Piontek, they have to get closer to each other because the team plays differently as Piontek needs. So like that Piontek needs the shots in the front so he can do something with it. But that's not how this team is playing. This team is like it's the whole organism. Like he has to work more with the team. I saw him very often in the like playing the defense as well. Like when I saw Piontek, it was always like in the defending things, but not scoring.
Okay. Simon, you were going to say something?
If they're going to play Piontek like that, they almost need to, well, not almost, they do have to sort of change the system of how they play to try to enable him to score. Because he needs to be sort of up there and he needs to get the service. And if they're not doing that, then he might as well not be on the pitch. They need to do something else.
Right now, who can... I don't know who can do that right now.
Yeah. Well, Luka Bakio is actually a center forward originally, but he plays on the wing in our system.
Okay.
And he was when he was one of the top scorers, he was always playing in the like a center forward. But we don't have anyone for the right wing.
Yeah. I don't know how they're gonna solve this. If they are going to, but also I noticed, I mean, I guess it was a moot point at that stage of the game. In the 75th minute, I think, Labbadia made a few subs. Lecky and someone else came on.
Duncan?
But,
come on.
Yes, Duncan and someone else.
Leuven, I think.
Yes, there was a triple sub, wasn't there? That's right.
Yes. Yeah. And... it was like throwing the towel, pretty much.
Yeah. But on the other side, always when Gangkang came in, he's really a real fighter. And like it could be that because Gangkang is a center forward, and it could be that he just like hits the fan without shit and shoot the goal. I can follow that why he does that, because you know like Gangkam, he wants like he's in the beginning of his career and he wants to shoot goals and he might be very hungry to prove himself. So
it was 4-1 when those subs took place. It was at the 76th minute. Yeah, I mean the game was over by that point. Mm-hmm. And is it only me, but I was quite a bit annoyed that with 5 minutes left that they subbed off Alan to get the 16-year-old kid mm-hmm. on the pitch. I thought, I mean, they might have you know flipped us off. It would have had the same effect.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan at all.
No.
But
it's safest moment to bring somebody like this. Like,
no, yeah, that's true.
They weren't really taking any risks, were they? I don't think, but.
Yeah, and I think I said that in the WhatsApp group, and I said something like, "I hope someone two foots him, just for the principle." But considering how badly they played in the second half, they would probably miss.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
but we will get an entry in Wikipedia that his first game of the youngest. First league player was against Hertha BSC when they lost 5-2.
Yeah, exactly, in a 5-2 massacre.
So for the history.
And
could have been worse, guys. We could have actually been there.
Yeah, I mean, you read my mind, Simon, because I was just going to say, imagine had, you know, been had fans been allowed there. Can you imagine the treatment that the Oskulva would have given the players at the end of the game?
Yeah. Like late in the evening, 3 degrees Celsius. I don't know how much that is in Fahrenheit, and it was a bit wet as well. And then 5-2. Oh,
We stayed during the game. We froze our asses off just to see that. You know, that's not good enough.
I love Corona.
There wouldn't have been many people hanging around by the rondelle afterwards. I think you'd all just go home and have a stiff drink.
Yeah,
probably. And I mean, I got to bring it up in the WhatsApp group near the end of the game. I could notice that more and more people were getting frustrated with Labbadia, and some of them were honestly wondering, like, would it be a good idea to make a change during the winter break? Change the coach?
No.
And to replace it him with who anyway?
But Labbadia is not a culprit, and Labbadia, he's not on the list of getting kicked off, like not internally, and also not.
He's not on the hot seat.
Hot seat, that's the word. No.
So it was frustration after the game, I think. Mm-hmm. And some people were quite getting quite frustrated with the Preetz as well.
Yeah.
I've been one of those people. I'm sorry?
This always happens, though. You know, if you have a sort of a bad run, there'll be people queuing up on sort of Twitter and WhatsApp and what have you, and they'll be saying...
Fire everyone. Sack everyone and, you know, sell everyone.
You know, Santa Claus, Rouse, and all this kind of stuff, yes. You know? It's,
It is these minutes with the 1-1 and the 2-1 which somehow killed us in like our team in the morale or whatever, because there was somebody saying because Pekarek had a very good chance between the first and the second goal of Dortmund, and then you know that then you would have like 2-1 for us, and then the game would have still another dynamic, but he had these two goals after each other, and then somehow Cunha got in a bad mood, and then like something happened in the dynamic of the team, and that was the beginning of the second half, and then the rest is history, like the third, fourth, and the fifth. And so I think we could have played like the first half, but just something happened in the team with these two goals.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate, really.
It's quite often the case, though, isn't it? When things start falling apart, it's not because of sort of lack of talent or ability or anything. It's because people's heads get screwed somehow, and something definitely happened over half time, or whether it was just because one mistake was made for that first goal that Dortmund scored, and then after that, the whole sort of psyche of the team just went out the window.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way it seemed. I mean, the first three of those goals were in different ways shocking.
Yes.
And possibly the worst was the Plattenhardt back pass. And then, what's he called? I always forget his name. Ali.
But he has a trademark on these back passes. So.
Is he? Yeah, that's a dodgy trademark to have.
It's not a good one to have. That's true. But... we can't even blame the international break, because the first half, I mean, we've been saying that 10 times since the start of the recording, but the first half was so good that like things were looking up, and I don't know, maybe they thought, okay, we're good, we're just going to keep going, and we will, you know,
a little bit of complacency sort of sneaking in.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah,
and then reality hit them like a brick, and
yes,
down they
like
went.
Like a 20-year-old Norwegian brick wall, four times. Is he 20 or 21, Arlen?
Wasn't he younger? Wasn't he 19 or something like that?
I think you're right. I think he's still 19.
Look how many goals he's going to rack up.
Is he allowed to drive the car?
I don't know. That's a good question.
He wouldn't be in the States, would he?
Your driving license and driver's license in the States? God, I can't believe I don't know that. I mean, here it's 16 years old. I think in the US it's 16 as well, isn't it? Like you can't drink until you're 21.
Well, I was probably thinking about that actually, rather than the driving.
Yeah, I think you can drive at 16, I think, and vote at 18, I guess.
Of Haaland turning up for training at Hertha, having to sort of go on a bike or a skateboard or something because he wasn't old enough to drive.
Or an Uber.
I just checked, he's 20, so he's not allowed to, he's not allowed to drink in America, but in Norway maybe not as well.
I wanted to ask...
He's born in...
No,
I can't afford to drink in Norway, so flip it. Yes.
I think he might earn one or other year.
Yes, he might be able to afford it. Yeah.
But if he's not, he will be pretty soon.
Yeah.
But
he's born in
Leeds. I wanted to ask...
I just was surprised he's born in Leeds, I just read.
Yeah. I read about that yesterday, but wasn't his dad a
footballer, yeah.
Football player as well?
Exactly, yeah, his dad.
Okay.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
That's okay. I was wondering what you guys thought of the international break during a pandemic.
Horrible.
Like, guys flying all over Europe. I hate it. I know that, like, they have an obligation with the, you know, TV contracts and all that stuff, but Arsenal had El Neni, had a player coming back positive with COVID, because he probably, Salah at Liverpool, he got it in Egypt.
Didn't he
went to a wedding?
Yeah, I couldn't believe hearing about that.
What a fucking idiot. How stupid do you have to be? A wedding. Jesus Christ. And they both play for the Egyptian team. And that's how El Neni got it, I'm pretty sure, because they are friends as well. They were friends from Basel. They played together in Switzerland for one season, I think.
Pissed off would you be as a manager to find one of your players?
Do you want Jurgen Klopp to be mad at you? It's another question. He would probably break you in half over his knee.
He must be so pissed off about that.
Yeah. And Alexander Arnold is injured as well, I think. Didn't he injure his leg during the game? Or
Don't know.
But they lost Van Dijk for the season. We knew that. Gomez, is it Gomez or Matip, who is injured as well? They are dropping like flies with the crazy schedule, and then you add an international break on top of that.
I don't particularly follow it, to be honest. But I mean, the Premier League, from what I gather, is doing all sorts of weird stuff at the moment.
Yeah.
I think Tottenham of all people, are at the top now.
Yeah. I mean, usually...
That must hurt as an Arsenal fan.
Oh, no, it sucks. It sucks. And right now, Arsenal are playing Leeds right now, and it's still 0-0. I can see that Arsenal got a red card. So they are playing down a man for a while. I don't know when, but the game should be over 0-0 in a few seconds, I guess. It sucks seeing Tottenham Spurs playing so... well, right now.
Is the rivalry so hard between Arsenal? Tottenham?
Yes.
Two North London clubs like that.
London, yeah.
Spurs are shit. They are shit. that's all I have to say about that.
One of the people that I work with, she's a Spurs fan, and there's always a lot of fun, sort of, you know, doing sort of wind ups about Spurs and things. But that's going to be a bit more difficult these days.
I mean, this is such a crazy season. If they can avoid injuries, which they've been able to so far, they have as good a chance as anyone else to win the league right now. Like, because Liverpool has many injuries, like we talked about. Yep. Manchester City are not quite the same. They are still like, they are in search of an identity or something. Mm-hmm. And everyone else has weaknesses, you know? So it's wide open, pretty much, you know?
Nice. Would wish that for the Bundesliga as well. Well, maybe the only good thing about yesterday is, okay, that's... Haaland was nice to watch it, but it's that Bayern München is not alone in the top. So there's still
Dortmund.
I don't have to.
That's true.
I don't have the table exactly in front of me, but it's like it's just 1 point difference between Bayern and.
Dortmund. Because they drew yesterday, right?
Yep.
It finished 1-1, I think. So
they almost lost actually. Like the.
Yeah, they trailed from a good part of the game, I think. I know that we talked about that before, but it's not good for the league to have the same team win the championship 9 years in a row. It's not a good look for anyone. Yeah, I'm jumping back and forth, but one of the things that worry me a little bit about Hertha right now is I don't know who I said this to. Maybe it was you, Simon, yesterday. The team right now is not as good as the sum of its parts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's on paper, it should be better, and that's a concern, I think.
It is, but I mean, is that not really a pretty important role of the manager to try to take the skills and the players and the sort of the psyche, if you like, of the players he's got, and then mold them into something that works as a team, as a whole.
But I had the impression that especially the last two games. Because after the Wolfsburg game, I understood, okay, now the team seems to find itself. And then there was the Augsburg game, where everybody was euphoric after that. And you really saw the full power what we have because of this offensive. Like, this offensive is really, really nice, even with Piontek. But then yesterday, I don't know, well, the first half still, it attached to the last two games. But then the second half, just something happened. But I still think, I still think that the team showed its potential, or at least the last 2.5 games, the team showed where it actually is. But then just it missed out on the last half yesterday, which is super depressing. Mm.
Yeah.
But they had good parts, yes. But I'm wondering, while you were talking about the last 2.5 games, I'm curious to see what this podcast would be today if the two halves had been switched around yesterday. Like, we get our asses kicked in the first half, but in the second half, we luck it down.
Positive, wouldn't it? Because of the way around.
Yeah, finishing on a positive note, sort of. But then it would be the criticism would be we cannot Labbadia didn't prepare the team properly.
Yeah, or they were sleeping.
Exactly. They were still on the international break. Then I would have a good reason to bitch even more about the international break because see what happened in the first half. We got our asses kicked.
I don't know what you do about that though, because it was something in their heads when they came out in that second half. Because within, was it 5 minutes or so, they were a goal down.
Yes.
And
something like that, yeah.
It was definitely something that happened in their heads. I mean, they're the same players, the same skills, but they just went all over the place. And what you do as a manager, I wouldn't have a clue. No idea.
No idea either. Yeah, so Haaland scored at the 47th minute and the 49th.
So I'm not sure if it was in the halftime or if it just was because of these two goals, which just happened too quickly. Because they might have still been a good mood in the first 2 minutes, and then the goals came. I don't know that I didn't really pay attention if they had they were smiling first 2 minutes.
Yeah, they were seeing themselves, they were seeing the headlines the next day already, after surprise win. Exactly.
I mean,
they got carried away.
The euphoria or the good feelings what we have about the first half yesterday is, of course, also because we were almost 45 minutes in the lead. Oh, well, not 45 minutes, but it was 0-0 and we were playing very good and then we were in the lead, and this feeling carries on for a long time.
We led for 12 minutes. Oh. Cunha scored at the 33rd minute. Mm-hmm. Yes, so we led total plus 1 minute added, so about 15. Let's say 15 minutes, more or less. 15 minutes of happiness.
It felt like 14 minutes. So.
They had kept Dortmund at bay as well in that first half. It wasn't just being a goal up. That, where they got a pretty formidable attacking force there, and they did well to hold him at bay, and that's what fell apart.
That's true. I didn't check the numbers at halftime, but I thought everyone looked really good for the first half. You know, it wasn't, like you say, it wasn't a fluke that we were up 1-0.
Yeah.
You know, we deserved that lead.
No, I mean, there were plenty of blocks being put in there, and they weren't letting Haaland run around all over the shop.
Not yet.
and then suddenly they were.
Yes, exactly.
It was like a fox in the chicken coop, they would say in English. You know,
yes.
By the end of it all.
Okay, I'm looking at the schedule for the next few games, and not great. Next Sunday is at Leverkusen.
Mm-hmm.
December 4th is at the Olympiastadion against Union. And then December the 12th at Gladbach. So it could be a rough patch.
Yeah.
Quite so. Quite. Not much more to say, but there you go.
Yeah.
Well, this is a cheery podcast, isn't it? I thought we were supposed to be enjoying this.
Well, we did for the first half, just like the game yesterday. Yeah, so we did exactly what they did yesterday. First half, you know, all good, Augsburg, yeah. And then doom and gloom for the second half.
Yeah.
Boom. And
after the Gladbach game, we have all the teams who are behind us, like of the second half of today.
We have Mainz and Freiburg
and
Schalke.
Yeah.
Schalke on January the 2nd. Yeah. So we could start the new year on a good note.
We also have
Freiburg. I don't know where they are on the table right now.
I'll tell you. On 14, like one behind us.
Oh, okay.
But we didn't play Bielefeld yet, not Schalke, not Mainz, not Cologne.
Okay.
So it's all
not current.
No?
Okay.
So it's all teams behind us from now on.
So at least that's also good, because I don't remember seeing any talk about relegation. So that's good. That's not a risk right now. Like, I think there are a few teams.
The positive we have to take from this.
Yes, exactly.
The high point is we don't think we're going to get relegated. Yippee-yandy.
At least there are a few teams like clearly worse than Hertha. So that's good, at least, yeah. I guess.
Well, just looking at the table with the points and things there, you've got sort of Schalke glued to the bottom, but we've only got four more points than them.
Yes, that's true.
So
doom and gloom. More doom
just,
and gloom.
Just to spoil your party.
Yes, quite. And it was quite the party that we were having.
For a few seconds.
We were talking Champions League, you know. Yeah. Move over, Bayern. Here we come.
So that means if we win Schalke, Köln, Paderborn, what's the other one? Mainz. And we win Union as well. Then we have, let me count, 16 points. No, 15 points. So then we have 15 points and we have a good first half of the season.
Yeah, but... remember which team we are talking about here. You know, there is nothing for granted.
No.
Yeah.
I just wanted to keep up the first half, which is happier.
The positive first half.
You're never going to come back, are you, Marcus? You're supposed to be coming along and cheered up. You're supposed to be having a happy time.
I went to bed yesterday because I couldn't cope with the loss yesterday. Then I woke up this morning and I was like, feeling good, slept very well. And then, oh shit, no, we lost 5-2.
Horrible.
Hey ho. Well, have we finished, gentlemen?
Yeah, I think that's, we're good, I think.
I might try and do a standalone little podcast about the Hertha Blues of coronavirus times. But then again, I might not. So if you see that one's appearing in the list, it's just me having a moan. Now, after this, you know, very light-hearted, fun time we've just had.
Do you have a name in mind for that podcast?
Not particularly as yet. I haven't thought about it that much, really. Just
that's okay. So, something will come up, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And And I might have my my own thing as well, but I mean, I'm not walking away from this. Unfortunately, some people might say, you're stuck with me. But I might have something on my of my own in the next few weeks. We will we'll keep you updated.
Okay.
Maybe also. How are you? Oh, you know my English. I was looking for the vocabulary. We started the blog with Axel Kruse Jugend, and Simon, okay. He will he will be one of the we will have a series there as well of how people of people telling their story about how they came to Hertha, and then Simon's story will be the opener probably in December. We're going to publish it, and then it's nice. The story which actually I thought. Later about it. It could be very interesting if international people tell their story, because you know if we from Germany etc. all tell about how you came to Hertha, it's usually my father brought me there and since with the milk, with breast milk, and since I'm a Hertha fan. But then you might get a bit more diversity in the how I came to Hertha stories. So Patrick, can also tell your story if you want. And also maybe to other international listeners could be very interesting to know it. You can write it in English. Yeah. Simon has the advantage that he has somebody translating it in German. Maybe we publish English and German, because maybe for our readers it's easier to read it in readers it might be easier to read it in German rather than English. So, but we'll publish both, I think.
No, that's a great idea. I would be happy to contribute if you want.
You're a member, sure. So you're.
I am. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So rock on. Perfect.
Well, on that cheery note, I think we'll take this opportunity to say our goodbyes, I suppose.
Yeah. Bye, everyone, and let's keep our fingers crossed against Leverkusen.
Yay. Yeah.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
Oh, it's actually wood here.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.